In spite of all the bad news in the world today, there is still ringing out the good news of God's salvation for all men. The word gospel simply means good news. Now, the gospel of God is not about man, but it is from God for man. The gospel does not tell man what he should be and do to merit or work for salvation. This cannot be done. But it does tell what God is and what God has done that man might be the receiver of his salvation. And in this, the gospel is indeed good news. I would like to consider with you today the subject of the gospel as to its content, its extent, and its intent. Now it is my earnest desire and prayer that my listening friend will be an open-hearted listener and receiver of this message. May you realize that to you this gospel is sent, that it is to be personally received, that you may so feel your need, that you may drink it in. Like we read the words of the writer of the Proverbs, when he says, as cool waters to a thirsty soul, so is good news from a far country. From God's far country, beloved friend, he has sent his good news, and he wants you to be the listener, the receiver. Yea, drink deeply of the message of good news for you today. First of all, I would ask that you turn with me to the Epistle to the Romans, where the theme of the gospel is taken up by the apostle. I just refer to a few verses in the first chapter. You have your Bible. It would help if you turn to it and look as you listen. And God thus can impress upon you through your eye gate as well as your ear gate, which I trust with all my heart is going to reach your heart, that his word will be thus received and be a blessing to you. In the first verse, we read of the gospel spoken of as the gospel of God, that is, as to its source. It was in God's heart that men should be blessed. It's not that man desired it at all, but God did. And this good news that we have to tell to men has come from God. Next, we'll notice in the second verse, it is what he promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures. Paul is writing here the Old Testament writings. From the very beginning, even in the book of Genesis, we have the promise of the gospel, the coming of Christ to redeem men, in the very book of Genesis. And throughout the whole Old Testament, we have pictures and promises and prophecies concerning one who was to come to bring man the blessing that he needed, the blessing that sin had robbed him of. And God in his grace has thought up the plan, and in this plan we see his good news. Now, this good news, as we have revealed in Holy Scriptures, is, as we read in verse 3 of chapter 1, concerning his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. I trust with all my heart that you know him as your Lord. I know him as my Lord by divine grace. And Jesus is the one who is the theme of the gospel, his only begotten Son, who came into Bethlehem, came into the world to save sinners. Jesus Christ, who is he? Jehovah. Jehovah the Savior and the Anointed One of Israel, the Messiah. And you notice he was come of the seed of David, and this was according to promise. He was come of the tribe of Judah. And we notice that he was declared to be who he was, the Son of God, with power. He showed who he was by what he did. The works of power that he accomplished could have been done by none other. He raised the dead. And this is what the apostle refers to here. who showed his power by the resurrection of dead ones. We read of three specific instances, a young maid, a young man, and Lazarus, who were all raised from the dead by this blessed one, God manifest in flesh. And so this is the one who the gospel is about, the theme of the gospel, the Son of God. And we have him set forth unmistakably in divine revelation of Holy Scriptures as the one who was ever in God's heart to constitute the good news for sinful man to believe. Down in verse 9, the apostle uses this expression, the gospel of his Son. And again, we have the theme. And we might say also the channel through which this gospel has come to us. For the grace of God, which bringeth salvation to all men, has appeared. And though the law was given by Moses, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. And this gospel message is one of grace and truth. Turning now to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, in the words of the apostle, we shall notice the three distinct facts of the gospel. As he writes to them, he says, first of all, I declare unto you the gospel. Mark that, the definite article, the. There is not another gospel. And Paul, when he wrote to the Galatians, said, if I or an angel preach any other gospel unto you, let him be accursed. Man has his religion of works. He has his opinions and his preaching. But if it is not according to this, it is not a gospel. There is only one good news for mankind, and it is found wrapped up in God's revelation of his beloved Son and what he has done. Be very clear about this. There is no other way of salvation. We read, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Mark that, dear listener. Be not deceived by the efforts of the enemy. Be not deceived by your own heart. There is only one Savior, and there is only one gospel. Paul declared this gospel to the Corinthians, and it is that which has been the means of saving souls since, and only that. Mind you, it consists of three main facts. He says, I delivered unto you first of all that which also I received. Paul is just simply the preacher, the minister. He ministered it to them. They received it. And receiving it, they received a foundation. They stood upon it. They had a standing that would enable them to endure through everlasting. This gospel brings everlasting blessing. But the first fact is, Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture. How marvelous to read that. How simple. Certainly, we do not fail to understand what is meant here. We know that all men, because of sin, are under the just, righteous condemnation of God. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. It's sin that has caused the distance between God and man. God in his gospel tells us that he in his love has provided one to bridge that distance, one to remove the sin that was upon man. And for this purpose, Christ came. Christ did not come to set an example for us that we might follow him and be saved. No, he came to die for us, to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. The debt of sin cannot be canceled in any other way. And our blessed Lord Jesus has died for sin. The work has been accomplished. On Calvary, we hear him say, it is finished. And based upon the work which he did there, God's good news goes out that all might believe. So Christ has died for our sins according to the Scriptures. All the Old Testament Scriptures spoke of his coming to give himself a ransom for mankind. The next fact is that he was buried. The burial is a proof of his death. He did die, beloved friend. No man took his life from him. He laid it down of himself. It was his willing act of service for you and for me and to his God to accomplish redemption. But the burial proved that he was dead. They came to Jesus, they found that he was dead already, so they break not his legs, as they did the two thieves to hasten their death. Our Savior died. He was buried. Loving hands took him down from the cross, put him in a tomb wherein never man had lain. Yes, Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus come out in the full sunshine of testimony for him. And the blessed body of our Lord Jesus was tenderly wrapped and laid in a sepulcher of Joseph's. The third fact is that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. This is the bodily resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Scripture tells us how some of the women in devotion to him came to anoint him and to give further spices. They found, however, that he was not there. The testimony of the angel: he is not here, he is risen. Behold the place where they laid him. It was according to his own word that he arose the third day according to the Scriptures. All the Old Testament Scriptures in various places have indicated the resurrection of Christ, the one who would not see corruption, the one who would rise again. And he in his own words again and again declared to his disciples that he would rise again. Jesus rose from among the dead. He has come forth from the tomb. He's no longer there, and he's not on the cross. He is the victor. He has vanquished death. He has put away sin. He is alive at the right hand of the Majesty on high, and from the glory he waits to save. He sends out the good news of his gospel. Now, to what extent is the gospel sent? Perhaps we can not better see this than to turn to a passage in John chapter 19 where we have suggested for us the extent of the gospel message. For instance, we see on the cross, in the words of the title that Pilate read and wrote there, we read, "Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews," verse 19. This title then read many of the Jews, for the place where Jesus was crucified was nigh to the city, and it was written in Hebrew, Greek, and Latin. I just cite this as an illustration how at this particular time the world was comprised of the Hebrew, the Greek, and the Latin. We have the religious element, and the Jews could read this message in their own tongue. We have the cultured, the social element. The Greek could read for himself. Then we have the political powers, those who are of the Romans. The Latin would tell them what was going on. And what was going on? God intended all men everywhere to realize that his good news concerning his Son, who died according to the Scriptures, should be read and known of them. Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews, Jehovah the Savior. We have then this truth brought out that our Lord Jesus Christ has given himself in death for all men, irrespective of color or creed. God's desire is that all might hear the gospel. The Lord said, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel in all creation." He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So the extent of this good news is worldwide, and it comes right into your very room. It comes, and God desires that it should come into your very heart. He longs that you might accept him, the one who is set forth in the gospel. I suppose that the word that we read many times, that grand word, whosoever, suggests the extent to which this gospel is given. Whosoever means you, me, and anyone who wants to. Isn't that good? Are you amongst those whosoever's who wish to be blessed? God's water of salvation, His gospel of good news, is poured out for you. He wants you to read. He wants you to believe. He wants you to receive. It's for you. So it is for all men. Now, what is the intent to which this gospel is sent? For this I turn again to Romans chapter 1. You'll read in verse 16 with me, please, these marvelous words. The Apostle Paul, who was saved by the gospel and who was the preacher of the gospel, says, I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. The Jew was the guiltiest. He had the word and he rejected it. Christ came to him and he refused to accept him as a Messiah. But God's grace and the gospel wants the Jew to know that he has salvation for him in spite of his sin. But also to the Gentile, and that takes in many of us. And all men everywhere then have the opportunity to believe. Now, regardless of who a man is, this gospel is God's power unto salvation. Salvation is what we need. For we are lost. Lost because of sin. We have all gone astray. We cannot save ourselves. And so God has sent His gospel. And everyone that believes shall be saved. Saved from something and saved for something. Saved from what? First of all, saved from the judgment that we deserve because of our sin. Because a soul that sinneth, it shall die. And we are saved for the glory that is before us, to which Christ has gone. Saved for blessing. We're saved from our sins. Oh, the dreadfulness of them. The horror, the corruption of them. We are saved for righteousness. We are saved from death. Yes, that we might be brought and saved for life. We are saved from hell, that we might be saved for heaven. Tell me, dear listener, do you know this salvation? Have you been saved? God grant that today you will be amongst those who hear, who believe. For remember this, whosoever believeth in Him should not perish. And perhaps we can say that the gospel in a nutshell is given to us in that verse, and I quote it in closing. For God so loved the world, that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. May you be the believer today. And if so, this gospel will not have been in vain for you. God grant that you will accept Christ personally, drink in the water of salvation, and be blessed.